I was looking forward to my golden years, and then he tells us how hard it's going to be and how much we're going to hurt. Just spoiled my whole evening. Oh, me. Boy, I love those hymns. Reminds me a lot of the first school I attended. First college I attended was the Mid-Continent Baptist College. It was in Graves County, Kentucky, in Mayfield. It's now the Mid-Continent University. It grew from just a school. When I was there, it was in the basement. And I can remember days where we didn't have anything to eat in the kitchen. And things like that, just wonderful, wonderful times that we remember in our journey as far as serving the Lord's concerned. And then the differences in the school through the years, schools that I attended. In Texas, I had to take 2 years of psychology and I'd take 2 years of music. So our music teacher said, listen, none of you people can sing. He's really encouraging, you know. Said, none of you guys can sing. He said, so I'm going to give you a little piece of advice. Whenever you have to lead music, always four-fourths time and never sing anything you don't know. So I've followed that through the years, and it works. I mean, people really think you know what you're doing. Four-four times, you know, one, two, three, four, one. All that, it's just great. So a lot of good advice, but some of the things that are my most pleasant memories are chapel, the chapel services. Now in Texas, a pretty large school, we ran 300 or 400 in our chapel services in the morning, but at Mid-Continent, just be a handful of us guys. And there was an old instructor, Brother Carlton. He lost his wife early in his life and grieved his whole life over that. But he'd sing Beulah Land. And you could tell the old gentleman was looking forward to it. So a lot of good things. Steve and I went to Boyce there in, was it Columbus? Was it Columbus, Boyce? Was it in Columbus? Stayed in the men's dorm and had some good times there, didn't we, Steve? But folks, it's been a lot of fun. I don't know of anything I'd rather be than a Christian. And I don't know anything I'd rather do than preach. We were talking about, you know, there's coming a time when we can't do this anymore. It's going to be very difficult that time, but I got a little time left, so I enjoy it as much as I can. I appreciate every opportunity that I get to preach the word. But anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about our journey tonight. If you remember what I said in the book of introduction, the book of Joshua, last Sunday night, that the book of Ephesians is contemporary with the book of Joshua. It has to do with the journey. The children of Israel, the new generation, is on the other side of Jordan, the flood, and they're getting ready to go into the promised land, and in the promised land, they're going to claim all that God had given them, or at least that was the intention of it. So it was a tremendous journey, and a tremendous journey that they were about to undertake. And when you get over in the book of Ephesians, it's a spiritual journey. What God has given us, listen, we have a great privilege. A great privilege. of just being a child of God, if there was nothing else involved, that just being an eternity with Him, it'd be great. But more, we've got more than we can ever know or experience in this lifetime. Now, the catalyst for this little journey that we're going to take tonight is over in Galatians chapter 5. And one verse of scripture, I don't like reading just one verse of scripture, but I've got quite a few that I want to share with you tonight, so I'll probably just be reading a few verses of scripture with you. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25, book of Galatians. That's where it starts. And then we're going into the book of Ephesians, and we're going to be working and dealing out of the book of Ephesians. Says this, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, before that, he gives the differences of the works of the flesh, and he mentions all this in our discipleship class. We went through this, so some of you guys is in my class on Sunday morning. You're going to hear some things tonight that I talked about to you. As far as the Spirit of God is concerned, how the Spirit, how we, and our life because of Him. But he goes through all of this, and he talks about the works of the flesh, and then he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, folks, I want to tell you right up front, I'm not a legalist. Now, some of this new preaching out here is going to tell you that I'm a legalist. Now, anybody with half a brain knows the difference between a legalist and holiness. There's a difference. I don't care what they're preaching out there. I don't care what they're giving out there. It doesn't make any difference to me what Dr. Stick in the Mud has to say about it or anybody else. What matters to me is what the Word of God says. And so I'm not a legalist. There's a difference in a legalist and holiness. A legalist is someone that is attempting either to appease God or earn his or her way to heaven. Now, there's a lot of folks like that out there. There are a lot of legalists out there. They would tell you they're not legalists. But by their actions, they're proving that they're exactly what they say they're not. If I am doing anything to please God, I'm a legalist. If I'm doing anything to earn heaven, I'm a legalist. First of all, you can't earn heaven. Nobody here can earn heaven. People say, well, preacher, I'm really trying to love so-and-so. Or I'm really trying to live the Christian life. Or I'm really trying to read the Bible. Folks, if we're trying to live a Christian life, if we're trying, we're a legalist. It ought to be something that we enjoy. A desire, a want to. If we're attempting to live in our journey, our walk, a Christian life, here's what's happening. We're attempting to live Christianity in the flesh. Or as an old preacher used to say, living Christianity in the flesh. You can't live Christianity in the flesh. There's no way. This flesh is opposed to everything God is for, everything the world loves. It's what this flesh loves. All that goes with the world and the things of the world. But to live the Christian life, to walk as God intends us to walk in our journey, should be a desire of our life. Should be a desire of our life. I'm not a legalist. Now, I believe in holiness. Oh, you're a holiness? No, I believe in holiness. I'm a Christian. I'm a member of a Baptist church. But I believe we ought to live holy lives and separated lives. When folks see us, when folks hear us, they ought to see something different in us. Amen. They ought to notice something there that they would desire. I believe in living a separated life. Now, does that mean I'm perfect? No. Does that mean that I'm going to get to heaven because I'm holy? No. Doesn't have anything to do with it. I'm going to heaven because I've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've accepted him as Lord and Savior of my life. I believe that he's the Son of God. I believe that he's the Messiah. I believe that he went to the cross. And I believe he went to the cross for my sins. And he bore my punishment and he bore my guilt. And it's because of him I'm going to heaven. But I believe as an outgrowth of our life, we should be separated and holy. And God knows in our world we need. You want me to tell you what's wrong with America? I can tell you what's wrong with America. One word. You want to hear that one word? Affluency. Affluency. America don't need God anymore. I mean, we got jobs. We got money. We got driving. I'm driving a Chevrolet. Who can ask for anything more? Right? Eat hot dogs and all that good stuff. Fluency. If you go over the book of Deuteronomy, Moses prophesies exactly what's going to happen in Israel. And one of the things that he talks about is affluency. All of a sudden, we don't need God. Man, we got nice homes. Amen. Nice cars, money in the bank, job. Yeah. What do we need God for? Fluency. So, in our walk, we ought to live separated lives. Because all this stuff's not going to matter. None of it. None of it. And we should never lose sight in all of the journey of Israel in the Old Testament. And our journey as Christians, we should never lose sight of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Never. He's the one that our focus is on. He's the one that we're looking at. He's the one that we're watching. Now, with all that said, and now I'm going to say something that's really controversial. I believe salvation changes people. I do. People say, have you experienced it? I believe it because the Bible teaches it. It's not what I've experienced. It's what the Bible teaches. And I believe that salvation changes us. If salvation doesn't change us, and I shared this with my class on Sunday morning, then what good is it? What good is it? Well, preacher, it's going to keep us out of hell. There's more to it than that. More to it than that. Just listen, there's more to it just going to church. That's part of it. I look forward to going to church. I have to put up with guys like Steve, you know. while I'm here, but I look forward to it. Be with God's people and fellowship. That's a key in any congregation's life. And enjoying the preaching, my soul, the singing, all the good stuff that goes with it. But what good is all that if our lives aren't changed? What's the benefit of my life? Did I tell you about that? Let me get a little closer here. Did I tell you about that deacon in Kentucky? Did I ever tell you about that? I was bold in those days. You know, when you're young, you get punched in the nose, you bounce back pretty quick. When you get older, you become more diplomatic because you get punched in the nose when you're 70 years old. It's hard to bounce back from that. So you get more diplomatic, more statesmanlike in your dealing with people. But in those days, I was pretty bold. And I hadn't been saved very long, probably 2 weeks. I was working with this guy. And, I mean, terrible. Terrible. I'd appreciate it if you just kind of hold down on the language and all this, that, and the other. I'm a Christian. Oh, really? Yeah. Where do you go to church? I go to church, Second Baptist Church in Clinton. He said, I'm a deacon there. I said, you're what? He said, I'm a deacon there. I said, do me a favor. Do the Second Baptist Church a favor. Do the Lord a favor. Don't tell anybody. Just don't say a word about it to anybody. Salvation changes us. Apparently it didn't do much good for him. So what's the end product of all of this? Let's look in Ephesians here, chapter 2. These are some familiar verses of scripture. I'm not going to get through all this tonight, but I'll get through some of it. By the way, it's a tremendous study. If you just go through the book of Ephesians, it's a tremendous study. If you run into that deacon, you tell him, Mullins, tell him to just shut up. But don't tell him where I am, so he punched me in the nose and I never get over it. That right, Bill? Yeah, I won't get punched in the nose now. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, it says this, and you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Notice he said in time past. Back there. Something that you were in the past. And he said your journey, your walk, your conduct, was according to the walk and conduct of this world. That's what he said. According to the prince of the power of air, the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, he said, in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Boy, wouldn't it be sad if it stopped there? And he points this out. This is what we were. This was your course. This was the way you walked. But if you go on down, he talks about an end product. And I don't want to get too much into this yet, but he says this. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. out of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. His workmanship. Created, he said, in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should do what? Walk in them. This is what we were. But because we're saved by grace through faith, this is the course that we now walk. The alcoholic's no longer an alcoholic. The drug addiction is no longer addicting hearts and lives of those individuals. Homosexual is no longer a homosexual. Transsexual is no longer transsexual. If someone tells you they're saved and they're walking a different course, bells ought to go off in your head and flags ought to come up. I don't care how much we love that individual. And I don't care if it's a brother, a dad, an uncle, an aunt, a father, a mother. We owe it to them to make sure that they know Christ as personal Savior of their life. We owe it to them. If we really love them, people say, well, I don't want to get too involved. I don't talk to my family much because you don't love your family. If you're not talking to your family about Christ, you don't love your family. You say, oh, preacher, I do. No, you don't. You mean to tell me that to avoid a little controversy, you're going to let them die and go to hell? If you really love them, are you? Our walk's different. Our conduct is different. Our thinking is different. Our destination is different. As children of God, our desires are different. Well, I'm not going to go there. Yeah, I am. I'd whole lot rather be in God's house Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, where it's nice and warm and we have good, comfortable seats.
Amen, brother.
Amen, preacher. Rather in some cold football stadium. I mean, it just blows my mind. If I'm going somewhere where it's cold, shoot me, I'm an idiot. Just get rid of me. I've lost my mind, just kill me. I'm going where it's warm. That's right. And if I'd rather be in that football stadium than being in God's house, there is a problem. Right. Somewhere along my journey, I've strayed off the course. Our walk is heavenly, not earthly. Now, here you go. Well, they're so earthly, so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. You ever heard that before? Yeah. I'll tell you what, a Christian will make a lot better worker than a lost person. I mean, really. I'd rather have a Christian working for me than a lost man. Simply because of our destination and how it's changed us. So, if walk is important, what does the scripture have to say about it? If we really know Christ as Savior, if we really trusted Him as Lord of our life, then there ought to be a change. Everything about us ought to be different. Ought to look different, act different, talk different, walk different. I like it when people say, "You're a preacher." I like that. I'm glad they recognize that. And I say, "You're absolutely right. I'm a preacher." They tell a difference in lives, who we are and what we are. So what's the end product? In this world, what's the end product? Well, preacher, we're all going to be in heaven. We're all going to be, we're not going to, we're, it's going to be a while before we get there. So what's the end product of our walk? Well, here's the catalyst in our text. If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. Being a Christian is a wonderful thing. We have so many aids to help us. I mean, God said, look, I said, "God, look, I can't love like you. I can't live like you. I can't serve the way you want me to serve." He said, "Okay, I'll tell you what. We'll just move in with you. Move, push a kidney over to one side and make a little room. Because we're moving in." So what gives us this desire? Certainly not the flesh. Flesh would rather go to, oh boy, I could really get into that. Flesh just likes doing what the flesh likes to do. But because God just moved in, He gives us the ability. I love Steve because of what God has given me the ability to love, Steve. And that's the way with all of us. I'm sure if you knew me years ago, you wouldn't even want to be around me. But God has put in your heart this love. He's given us the ability for our journey. Not only that, we have the Word of God. I don't have to guess at what God says. I know what God says because of the Word of God. People say, "Well, preacher, I experienced it." Well, you can just throw your experience out the window. Put it down the garbage chute. If it doesn't measure up with what God says in His Word, it's the wrong experience. So, when Brother Barry gets up here and preaches, as he does so well, I want to open the Word of God and make sure that this is what God's saying. So we have all these helps get us through here. And man alive, I tell you, I just absolutely love Sunday school. I wish we could just have Sunday school 7 days a week. Yeah. Just move in. Camp in. Get our cots and just move in. Have Sunday school and church 7 days a week. Man, that'd be great. Man. I love hearing it. I love teaching. I miss my Sunday school class because I'm teaching a class now. I miss Brother Brother Ron and Brother Floyd. I miss these guys, Brother Floyd. I miss the Sunday school class. Why? Because the Lord lives in us. That's why. We have the aid of Him and the aid of the Word. People say, well, I don't know what God wants of me. Well, read the book. Amen. He'll tell you. He lays out our entire life in the book. Let's read the book. Walk in the Spirit. We're saved by the grace of God, and we walk in the Spirit. The Bible says that we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What it says. And I believe that. Let's go back. Let's go over into Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 2. We should walk in good works. In chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, actually. It says, For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, His product, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And then He says, walk in them. People should be able to tell that we're Christians because of our good works. Now, we don't do good works to get to heaven. So if you're trying to get to heaven by doing good works, you're a legalist. I'll just put the tag where it is. If you're doing good works to appease God, I used to think years ago, before I was saved by the grace of God, I got back from overseas, and my wife was a janitor of the Second Baptist Church there in Clinton, Kentucky. So I'd go down and help her, and I was thinking, well, God will see me doing this. And when I stand before Him, He's going to measure that. You know how the Egyptians measured the heart of the dead? They had a scale. And they'd take the heart and put it on one side of the scale and the feather on the other. And if the heart outweighed the feather, they would not make it across the river Styx. That's the way they measured it. That's the way pagans measure it. How should we walk? Good works. In our journey. The Bible says that. Now, we should walk worthy of our vocation. Look in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. That word vocation is an interesting word because not only does it cover the spiritual side, but it covers the secular side. And if we claim to be what we are, then that's the way we should walk. And if we're walking contrary to that, we're not walking worthy of our vocation. It's a tremendous honor to be a Christian. I'd rather be a Christian than a husband. I'd rather be a Christian than a grandpa. I'd rather be a Christian than a daddy. It's an honor being a Christian. and what we are and who we are. It's a great honor. Never be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Don't be ashamed of the fact that you are Christian. Walk worthy of your vocation. Teacher, Bible teaches that, does it not? What it says. Walk worthy of our vocation. Then if we're going to walk worthy of our vocation, the Bible tells us not to walk as other Gentiles walk. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. It says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." That's how Gentiles walk. That word vanity means empty. And mind has to do with intellect. What do they say when there is no God? They're mindless. They're mindless. I don't care what the college professor says. You know, it's amazing how much money we spend to get our kids through college and away from God. It's amazing. It's amazing. And so we spend, my fifth year program cost me $47,000. What it cost me. Well, now it's a whole lot more. And a lot of these secular universities, I mean, it costs a mint. Some of these kids never get out of debt. So we spend all this money, and we brag about how we're going to get them a college education, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And we send them before some mindless nincompoop, walking in the emptiness of their mind, teaching our kids. It's amazing. Well, preacher, they need a college education to get a good job. I'd rather they dig a ditch. And go to school loving Christ and come home hating him. They're walking in the vanity of their mind. Empty-mindedness. That's how Gentiles walk. So, it tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, another way that we're to walk. Now remember, we're taking a journey here. We're taking a worldly, we're going through the world in this journey. He says in Ephesians chapter 5, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us." Boy, now there is a tall order. That word love means unconditional. Unconditional. I'm to walk in unconditional love as Christ loved us. Unconditional. I may not like all that I see. May not agree with everything you say. I'll tell you this. I'm to love you unconditionally. Not what you say, not what you, you know, just unconditionally. Christ loved us unconditionally. And again, I want to get back to this thing. If I tell you I'm trying to love you, you know what I'm saying is, I don't love you. But But boy, I sure am trying to get the flesh to love you. We're to love unconditionally, and that's the way we're to walk. We're to walk as children of light. Look at verse 8. In the same chapter, it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Did you know that God places us where he wants us, that we might be a witness and testimony for him? You think that you have this job because of your good looks and your great abilities? You have this job because this is where God put you. This is where God placed you. For a reason and for a purpose. And certainly not to make a paycheck. He wants us to walk as children of light. Down to schoolhouse. You say, "Preacher, if I start witnessing Christ, I'll lose my job." Lose it! But don't stop serving him. Lose it. You'll be better off. You'll be better off without it. I just reached the point where I'd tell them, rather than just getting fired because of my testimony and my witness, I just told them right up front, "Look, number one, I'm a Christian. Number two, I'm a Baptist preacher. Number three, I'm going to read my Bible. And number four, if I get a chance, I'm going to tell them about Christ. Now, if you don't hire me, that's fine. I'll move on down the line." That's the way I did it. You say, "Well, you're a preacher." No, it doesn't make any difference. We're Christians. And if I lose my job because I'm a witness and testimony on the job, because of my witness and testimony, I don't need that job anyway. They can take that job and shove it. Walk as children of light. And then finally, in Ephesians 5:15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." He tells us how to walk in this world. That's what we're looking at. Walk has to do with a journey. He tells us how to walk. And here he says, walk circumspectly. That is, know what's going on around you, but don't get caught up in it. And don't be surprised by it. Somebody said, "Well, we're going into World War III." That's the dumbest statement I ever heard. So what? So what? This is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and we fear not only waking up in the morning and going to bed at night. "Well, I watch this thing on television, and this is a medication that I take, and here's what can happen." And boy, I mean, they start naming down a list of an arm of things that can happen. Fear. They say your burglar alarms because they use fear. Two things sell on television. You ready? Sex and fear. Well, you need that homeowner's insurance policy. You need this, you need that. Know what's going on. But walk circumspectly. Because, folks, there's a greater, greater thing coming. Father, thank you for this time together. Use it for your glory. Thank you for this church and for the good opportunities we have to hear the preaching and the singing and, Lord, just the good fellowship. Be with our preacher. Pray that tomorrow be a better day. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys, I do. You say, preacher, you don't sound like it. I do, I love it. I just went through the Word, see what the Word had to say about our walk, right?